Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Home Business Radio with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor, helping you chart your way through the choppy waters of succeeding as a home-based entrepreneur. This is your how-to show to help you successfully join the tens of millions of people who operate home-based businesses. And now, here are your hosts, Richard Captain Henderson and Sherilyn Colleen.
Greetings and welcome to Home Business Radio. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your skipper at home at HB Radio.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Well, let's get our radio ship underway. Today we talk about starting up a successful business. We love anything startup at Home Business Radio. It's all about getting your home-based business launched on a successful course. Today, live on the show, we have Michael J. Morris, author of the best-selling book, Starting a Successful Business, Your Guide to Setting Up Your Dream Startup, Controlling Its Finances, and Managing Its Operations. So, Michael J. Morris, say hello to our radio and podcast audiences.
Hello, radio and podcast audiences from cloudy old England.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Home Business Radio is recorded live in front of a studio audience here in Lakeville, Minnesota. Michael started in sales and ended up in marketing management and then general management with Turtle Wax and Fisher-Price Toys. He then spent a decade advising small firms and startups on the way he picked up an MBA part-time.
Finding he was repeating himself to many clients, Michael J. Morris set out looking for a book that he could read before an initial consultation. Finding none, he realized he had to write it. The book is now in its newly launched 8th edition. Eventually, Michael found himself in academia working in a large business school.
Michael, so let's get underway. First, let's do a reality check. Being in business for yourself is sometimes put forward almost as if it's the cure for all ills. But is that realistic? Very briefly, is there anyone who ought not to start a business?
Well, as we all know, Richard, it can be the most exciting and fulfilling career in the world. But you're quite right to highlight the potential downside because it can also lead to the most dreadful heartache. So it's important to take a good look at the success factors. Mostly, to my mind, it comes down to aspects of your personal character. You need to be good with people. You need to have good self-control. You need to be disciplined, the sort of person who can carry on working hard even when it's not pleasant to do so. You must be able to withstand pressure. Numbers, that's another thing. You need to be good with numbers. If you've got a sense of urgency and impatience, a drive to get things done, that's really invaluable. Because there are going to be setbacks and you need to be able to brush yourself off and carry on. I'm not saying you have to tick every one of those boxes, but if you lack a significant number of them, perhaps you ought to be thinking more than once about your own business. Could I just add something else? I would suggest you don't rely just on your own assessment of yourself. Get people who know you to comment. Now, this I think is important because if you're a woman, research shows us that you're more likely to underrate yourself, and if a man, to overrate yourself. And I hope the politically correct lobby don't descend on me saying that. It's simply an objective fact that most women are less confident entrepreneurs than most men. Not all, but most. And interestingly, women do tend to prepare more, in my experience. And as a result, they get it right more often.
So it sounds like maybe that caution pays off. And you brought up some good points about your personal characteristics and discipline, responding well to pressure and startup. I imagine some of these, if you identify these as problems and things you need to work on, that you can work on them and make them better over time.
Absolutely. I mean, to quote one famous American who I believe was born a British citizen, one Thomas Jefferson, who your audience may have heard of, I think he said something to the effect that the harder I work, the luckier I get. I want to talk about that later in the show because it's important to work hard on the right things. But coming back to the point about what people need to succeed in business, it obviously helps if your name's Rockefeller. But you don't actually need lots of money. Your country is absolutely full of great names who came into your country with not a penny. and yet made a huge success of their lives and their businesses. Energy is important. And to be energetic, you've got to have good health. So look after your body and your mind. Drink and eat sensibly. Exercise well. You need the ability to talk sensibly to other people as well. And you need to be able to define a goal and stick to it through thick and thin. And now I'm going to contradict myself, because you also have to be able to recognize when you're on the wrong tack and change the goal.
Sounds like the gals might have a problem with that one. They just like bulldoze ahead, and maybe with the female entrepreneurs being more cautious, they can recognize when they're getting on the wrong track.
Sure. Well, we know that running your own business takes grit. Michael, what else in your experience does a person need to succeed in business?
Well, I come on to this point about people, if I may. I'd just like to stress that, because they're at the center of business. You know, if you're going to want money, then you've got to talk to your backers, and they will be people. Your customers are going to be people. Your suppliers will be people. Hired help, and so on. And if you have a talent for alienating people, or at least a significant proportion of the people you meet, you're just tying a big, heavy weight to your foot, quite unnecessarily. Because if you can get people on side, they will help you. They like to do business with people they like. And I think that, you know, getting to be liked is best done by being polite, cheerful, helpful, even when it won't earn you a penny directly, helping people, being honest and straightforward. And part of that is owning up immediately when something goes wrong. People will probably cuss at you, but they will respect you for being straight with them. And as for setting goals, that's a whole topic in itself and one of my greatest areas of interest.
So with people and being liked, I guess a challenge, and particularly for a lot of home-based entrepreneurs, is that, you know, a lot of the businesses work part-time, where you're not directly interacting with clients. It seems like the business world is just getting more virtual. It's getting more connected, more dispersed, but it's less person-to-person and direct interactions. I guess that's a challenge, and you still have to get yourself liked and be liked by people, as you're mentioning there. I just imagine that's more of a challenge when you're not able to meet face-to-face with people.
I take your point very much, Richard. Yes, the widespread use of the web now has depersonalized business in many areas to a great extent. But I still come back to the point: you're going to have to deal with some people who are going to be vital to you, among your at least your backers, the bank, the family, whoever's putting money into it, and also, let's not forget, things sometimes go wrong in business. And when you make a mistake, you're going to have to deal with it. And if you come across as a human being who's trying to sort it out and made a genuine mess, people will understand that better than if you just tell them to go away. So people skills, I do believe, are still important even now.
Good point. Well, Michael, I got beaten it into me on the deck plates of Navy ship to always set goals for everything. So why is it important to set goals for a business startup success?
Well, I've never served in the Navy, but I admire and respect people who do. And I'm not saying that just because I'm talking to you, Richard.
I've learned everything from the Royal Navy.
Yeah, well, I've learned a little bit about sailing in another context, and the sea is a rather special place. But sorry, coming back to goals, some people just coast along without setting any objectives at all. And I'm rather talking against myself here, because I will admit that it can work. One of the most successful construction firms I know near me, here at home, works just like that. He's been in business for 25 years, knows his market really well, and he doesn't need to plan on paper. It all goes on in his head. But crucially, he never intends to expand. He's comfortable where he is with just half a dozen staff and a few subcontract specialists who come in for specialist tasks. But someone starting up from scratch is in a very different position. One of my neighbors is setting up as a landscape gardener, and he's planning in great detail. His overall aim is to have a small team in about 5 years' time who will do all of the heavy work, because he's not in the first flush of youth, because he thinks that 5 years from now he'll have done enough heavy manual work, and he needs some young lads to do all that for him. Now, because he said he's defined that objective 5 years from now, and the number of people he wants working for him, it's quite easy for him to work out, as he has, that he's going to need sales of around $500,000 by then. That's a clear goal. It's maybe one that some of your listeners can't relate to, but the principle I would ask them to think very, very carefully about. It's a clear goal, and he can measure his progress against it, because that's the other thing about goals. If he doesn't work towards that goal, he'll make a living, but 10 years' time, there's a risk that his health may pack up and he'll be unable to continue. So goal setting, I think, is important, and not just...
I think it's really critical in that you have to set time limits and then set objectives that you're going to attain and monitor those along to attain those goals. Well, great. But before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, City America. City America will help you to manage your own city directory website for your area. You keep 100% of your sales income. City America provides ongoing support and training. Only one site per city is allowed, so contact City America today to see if your city is available. For more information, call 1-800-856-9870 or visit the radio website for more information on sponsors.
Okay, so we've got the main goal in place, but is that all the planning we have to do? Can we now just get on with the job?
Well, I would argue that you can't. Think about this. The main goal defines some big aim some way off in the future. So what are you going to do tomorrow? So at the outset, you've got to specify that main goal, so you've got a general sense of direction. But you need signposts along the way, benchmarks, to enable you to see if you are on track or wandering off. And I think, you know, one of the things to consider is just what is this business going to be for? A couple of thoughts off the wall. Is it to replace income that lost because you've lost a job? Is it to supplement the main family income to afford better holidays? Is it to launch a new product or service idea that something you haven't been able to sell to your own employer, but you really know is going to work? You feel you've got to make it go by yourself. Is it to create future work for family members whose employment prospects are maybe not particularly brilliant? All those sort of things. Or you may indeed decide you want to be the next Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. And it's just a few, but this is the point. They are wildly different. Consequently, the routes that their founders will follow will need to be wildly different. And that's where the plan comes in.
Okay, so it sounds like, you know, no matter how small your business, you still need a plan. Are there anything else that, any other factors you think you should plan for or maybe look at another way? What are some of the building blocks of a good plan? What should a plan contain, say, in addition to these signposts you mentioned?
Right. Well, basically, I think you look at it as something which is in different chapters, if you like a book in different chapters. You start from the place that you're trying to get to, the big idea, but you've got to look at each department of the business in turn. How many sales do you want? What sort of value of sales? What's your cost going to be? Where are you going to get your supplies? How are you going to get it to the customers? What's your marketing going to comprise? You go through all of these things, and then, you know, how are you going to deliver it and all that sort of thing. You go through every one of those. You write them all up. Please write them all up, because that way you will remember them. You can refer back to them. And when you've done that, you can then look for inconsistencies. You find out, for instance, that you're planning to sell twice as much as you can produce. But your financial plan says you've got to sell that amount. So now you've got to get back to the production plan and so on. Do you see what I mean? That there's a lot of independent.
Right. So it sounds like you don't. It sounds like there's a lot of details and work you have to do in it, but it's not that hard to get started. You just look at the different aspects of a business, whether there be financing, production, sales, customer relations, even your administrative and bookkeeping, and work through a plan to get all of those different elements of a business moving forward.
That is it exactly, Richard. I wish I'd put it as well. None of it's Nobel Prize stuff, but there's an awful lot of it, and that's what makes it look complicated. But it isn't complicated. It's just a bit demanding.
You just got to get your hands dirty.
Certainly. Well, Michael, you mentioned financial backers. This is important, as many times new entrepreneurs do not have enough financial resources for business startup and expansion. So a big worry for new entrepreneurs is this. How do you approach investors?
Well, I think the first thing is you produce a proper business plan. We don't have time to go into that here, but there are plenty of templates on the internet that you can pick up from business organizations. Just Google. Other search engines are available. Google for business plan templates. So you need a business plan, which is putting down on paper the beliefs that you have about what this business is, how this business is going to work. You're going to have a number of different audiences that you can direct it at, and it's worth spending a moment looking at those. There's government, both state and national and local. Some of them give grants that you don't have to pay back. Others will give you loans, and they may be soft loans, you know, low interest rates and all that sort of thing. But be very careful with them, that you need to jump through a lot of hoops, and then it may not suit you. But do look at it, because it can be helpful.
Well, it sounds like probably with this plan, the investors are going to want to know the big question is, how are you going to be able to pay back their money, and what the timeline will be for that?
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter who they are, whether they're family, the local bank, or crowdfunders on the internet, or indeed rich people, business angels who will back you. They're definitely going to want to know that. And that is going to be a critical element, you're quite right, Richard, in the business plan itself. But it's not the only thing, of course, as we all know.
Great. Now, sometimes it all comes down to money, but let's assume that you've got your money together, Michael. The next big worry is customers. We can't forget it's all about customers and the business demands that they bring. So briefly, how do you get started on selling to them?
Right. Well, there was an absolutely brilliant Harvard professor, now unfortunately not with us, called Peter Drucker. And he said something very like, the chief aim of marketing is to eliminate selling. And what that means in practical terms is all your preparatory work that I've been advocating, all that thinking before you act, means that you've got an absolutely easy job to do to sell, because you've actually devised something that is saleable. You're not going to have to hit customers over the head to persuade them about it. You've planned it that way. So. We've made life easier for ourselves by our planning. Customers, I think you need to look at them, and you need to look at the product or service. And there are a number of areas that we could just briefly touch on there. As far as the customer is concerned, I don't know how familiar people are these days with the poet Kipling, but when he was a journalist, he said he had 6 honest serving men who taught him all he knew. And their names are what and why and when and how and where and who.
Journalists, I like that.
Journalists to this day use that, and so can you as a business person. They're your servants too. Who exactly are you selling to? What are you selling? Where? When? How? Above all, why should the customer buy from you and not a competitor? If you answer those questions in your planning, you'll be really organized before you even leave the house. I could go on about that, but I will try to cut myself a bit short there. But I would say that defining who the customer is, this is what the marketing people call segmentation, is absolutely essential. Otherwise, you're running around trying to get orders from everybody, whether or not they're profitable or the right place. Let me just give an example very quickly. There's someone who decides to start a yard maintenance business. I mean, in English, this is garden maintenance. Who are they selling to? Just to say people with yards, it just isn't enough. Where are they? Which suburbs? How big or small do the yards have to be worthwhile? Is there an upper limit on size that you can actually physically deal with? Are they owner-occupiers, or are they, or the customers, landlords of, or are they rented properties? What about schools, hospitals, hotels, retirement homes, municipalities? Is there a radius beyond which the travel time makes it uneconomic? And when you answer those questions, you learn two things. One is who you ought to be dealing with, and equally importantly, who you ought not to be approaching, who would be a waste of time because they're not part of your main target market. And so you can then concentrate your efforts. And that, you as a military man will know, is a pretty important principle.
Well, we like that. We like that word targeting. It's all about who are you going to target, and defining that customer, and that will then be on the right path on targeting. I like what you said also about marketing eliminating selling. I mean, that is profound, and it's one of those things that's just been right in front of your nose. But until you said that, I didn't look at it that way, but it's so critical. The bottom line is, the more you do your homework, the more that you do your marketing, do your websites, do your direct mail, do all the different ways that you market, the easier it is to make that final sell or to secure that customer. So that bears repeating, and a really good point, particularly for home-based entrepreneur stretch, that the better you do marketing, will help to eliminate or lessen selling. So thank you for sharing that point with us.
Well, I take no credit for it. It was Professor Drucker, and I sit at his feet and admire.
Great.
Sorry, well, such a great discussion on starting up a success. You've shared so many great insights and advice. The future is very bright for home-based business startups. Any final points you would like to share with our audience?
There are thousands of things which the book covers, and I just don't have time to deal with here. But there are two or three in particular, if I can just mention them quickly, Shirley. One I think is vital to survival, and I'm sure other speakers will have made the same point, but I make no apology for repeating it. It is so important, and that is cash flow. Always make sure you have enough money in the bank to pay the bills you've got to settle. And keep an eye on it all the time. Plan for it. Don't, for heaven's sake, take the big order, which cleans you out in buying materials and buying and everything else. You then deliver it to the customer. The customer takes 6 weeks to pay you, by which time the IRS has closed you down because you haven't paid your taxes or something gloomy like that. So cash flow, please obsess about that. My other point is to do with efficiency, the use of your time. Again, a well-known principle, the Pareto principle, which says, it's known as the 80-20 rule as well. It says that 80% of the effects, or thereabouts, it comes from about 20% of the causes. So 20% of your customers will produce 80% of your sales. 20% of your stock will account for 80% of your sales. Think about what that means about the use of your time. It means you will get 80% of your weekly income from 20% of your time. So if you're working 5 or 6 days, that's about one day's work is producing 4/5 of your income. So in every aspect of what you do, look for that precious 20% and concentrate on it like mad. That is, I think, the message I'd particularly want to put across. Just finally on that point about luck, Napoleon said, please God send me lucky generals. And another Frenchman, Louis Pasteur, said, fortune favors the prepared mind. In other words, the way to get lucky is to do your preparatory work, just as I've been advocating here today.
Well, thank you. You do your homework and focus on these efficiencies, focus on the cash flow. Hopefully you'll have some luck too.
There sure is a lot to cover with starting up a home-based business. Thank you so very much, Michael J. Morris, for your advice and insights. For more information on these topics and more, including his book, Starting a Successful Business, visit the radio website at homebusinessmag.com.
Thanks for joining us in this session of Home Business Radio. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or the Home Business Expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.